of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We're going to talk on you today on the Gospel from St. Matthew. It had to do with St. John the Baptist. And I will focus on a few points. As the Lord put His words in my mouth, so it will bring fruit 30, 60, and 100. Amen. What was happening at this time is that, of course, you remember Herod decided to put St. John the Baptist in prison. And the reason was because Herod took the wife of his brother to be his own. So St. John the Baptist told him he cannot do that. So he didn't want to hear it, so he put him in prison at this time. So he was in prison, and you know, St. John is a prophet. So he knew that his time is coming soon to be martyred. And he wanted to make sure that his disciples realize who is Jesus, being the Son of God. So he told them, go to Jesus and ask him, are you the one? Are you the coming one? Or do we need to wait for somebody else? When we read that verse, we think that maybe John was not sure if Jesus was the Son of God. That's not true. St. John the Baptist has no doubt whatsoever that Jesus is the Messiah. And what proof do we have to say this? We go back to Luke, and you remember when St. Mary went to Elizabeth and told her the greeting, what happened? The child leaped inside Elizabeth. Like, you know, as a child, he receives the Holy Spirit because Mary was right there and Mary was pregnant in Christ as a time. The other thing, remember when St. John the Baptist baptized Jesus? What happened then? There was the sound of God from heaven and there was a door. That was the Holy Spirit standing above the head of Jesus. And what John the Baptist said, I saw the Spirit descending, that's from John chapter 1. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. So John realized that the Holy Spirit was that symbol of dove above the head of Jesus when he was baptized. I did not know him before, but he who sent me, God who sent John to baptize with water, said to me, God told John, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is who baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Even then, John knew that this is the Son of God. So there was no doubt in his mind that Jesus is the Son of God. And the next day, also in the same chapter in St. John, it says that John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus, he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Told them, this is the Lamb of God. So two of his disciples went behind Jesus, and John was happy about it. So he has no doubt whatsoever that Jesus is the Son of God. Also, John said that he must, talking about Jesus, he must increase, and I must decrease. And if we can have that spirit, all of us, when we are serving the Lord, that the Lord has to increase and we must decrease, we'll be so happy serving Him. Serving the Lord is for His glory, not for ours. So, the question is, why then did He send some of His disciples asking Jesus, are you the one, or do we need to wait for another? So the simple fact that He wants to make sure that His disciples heard it from Jesus' mouth. So when He gets to die and be martyred, then they will follow Christ. So Jesus answered them in verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. Tell him what you hear and see. I'm doing miracles. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Referring to Isaiah, the prophecy that says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The word poor here doesn't refer only to poor in money, but it refers also to the humble people. People humble, they are also poor in spirit, the humble ones. And then He said in verse 6, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. What does that mean? Jesus knew that He will go through sufferings, He will be crucified on the cross, and this may question the disciples of John the Baptist, that maybe He is not the Son of God. So He told them ahead of time, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. And then, after they departed, then He told His disciples, Jesus' disciples, He told him, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? Is it a reed shaken by the wind? What does that mean? You know, a reed is a tall grass, empty inside, you know, very weak, tall grass. You know, all things that taller and taller gets weaker and weaker. St. Gregory the Great has very nice commentary about this. He says that when there is a tall piece of grass, so tall, any breeze that comes moves that piece of grass, it moves the reed. So, when you speak, there is some air coming out of your mouth, right? So when you go to that reed and tell the reed, oh, you are so beautiful, you are terrific, you are gorgeous, the reed will start to bend from the breeze. And then be happy, so it will raise up and feel so good about itself. And give you like a matanya, thank you so much for telling me this. If you go to the same reed with words of blame and tell the reed you are terrible, you are awful, also the reed will bend under those words of blame. So what Jesus was saying, that this reed is empty inside, it has no strength. But St. John the Baptist was full of what? Full of the Spirit. St. John, it didn't matter if somebody will give him words of praise or words of blame. It doesn't touch him. Aren't we this way? If somebody tells us something so good, then we are so happy and feel so good about ourselves. And if somebody tells us words that are a little bit difficult, then we feel so bad and we are so depressed and sad and upset. Let's be like St. John the Baptist. It doesn't matter what people say, as long as you do the will of the Lord. So it was a nice contemplation of St. Gregory the Great about the reed. Then Christ continued, but what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? You know St. John, what was he wearing?
Listen, this is a little bit.
What St. John was wearing? Yes. Camel hair. And there was around his waist leather. Piece of leather around his waist. What was he eating? He was eating locusts and wild honey. That was his food. So he was not like a king. He was such, not just a simple man. He was so ascetic, less than a simple man. So what did you go out to see? A prophet? Then Jesus said, I tell you, but he is more than a prophet. How St. John the Baptist is more than a prophet? He's a prophet, but he's above all the prophets. Why? Why he is above all the prophets? Sure, he prepares the way in front of Christ. And he is the only prophet that was prophesied about his coming. You know, all the Old Testament is prophecy about who? Christ, right? The only one among the prophets that were prophesied about was St. John the Baptist. So we look into Malachi in the Old Testament. It says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. You see that verse in the bottom of the page here? Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. When you read that prophecy in Malachi, it says, pay attention to the wording. Behold, I send my messenger, God is talking. I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. God is talking. So John the Baptist will prepare the way before God, but here it says before you, referring to who? To Jesus. So God equal Jesus. In the Old Testament, was saying before you, before me. God talking about himself. In the New Gospel here of Matthew, it says before you, referring to Jesus Christ. So Jesus and God are equal. And also in Isaiah, it says, prepare the way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Those are prophecies related to who? To St. John the Baptist. No other prophets had prophecies in the Old Testament before they come, except St. John the Baptist. And also, Zechariah, his father, the angel announced the birth of John to him. What else? As we mentioned early on, he was filled by the Holy Spirit, even when he was inside the womb. So all of that will make him even the best among the prophets. I will finish by one verse which follow the verse 10, which is number 11, but is not in front of us right here. What it says, assuredly I say to you, Christ is talking to his disciples, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than St. John. What does it mean? Why St. John the Baptist was the greatest among those born of women? For many reasons that we mentioned some of them. He has the privilege to baptize Christ. He was so humble, he said, he must increase, Christ must increase, and I must decrease. All the prophets did not see Christ except John. He witnessed the Holy Trinity when he baptized Christ, the Son of God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit as a dove. And his life was so aesthetic, you know, just wearing camel hair and eating locusts and honey. So that's why he is the greatest among children born out of women. But then Christ said, but he who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. You know, St. John the Baptist got martyred before the crucifixion, right? So before the salvation, before Christ's blood saved us. So he didn't witness that. He was not at the time. So when he died, he went also to the waiting place, and Christ has to go and save him, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's one thing. So when we are born out of the Spirit through baptism, and we're thinking, well, that was a long time ago, now I keep sinning and I'm not pure anymore. Each time you confess, you repent, this is the second baptism. You get cleansed again. And the Holy Spirit gets renewed within you. So anybody who is filled with the Holy Spirit and is saved through the blood of Jesus Christ is considered to be even higher than St. John. But St. Augustine, Augustinus, said a really nice comment, that the kingdom of heaven, who is in the kingdom of heaven? When you go to the kingdom of heaven right now, who is there? Angels, right? So he was telling his disciples that angels are higher than St. John the Baptist. And that's why our church considered the highest rank is who? St. Mary. After St. Mary comes the angels. After the angels, right after the angels come who? St. John the Baptist. And after St. John the Baptist comes the apostles, the disciples of Christ. Then after that, the martyrs and the confessors and the saints. So the highest rank among people like us, for St. Mary exceed, because she is the Mother of God, so she is the highest above the angel. Then next to her is the angel. Right after the angels is St. John the Baptist. So let's ask for his prayers. St. John, he is one of the greatest saints and the greatest prophet, as Jesus witnessed to him. May the Lord bless us and keep his word in our hearts, and be glory to him forever and ever. Amen.